This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you.
Let's have a stat, shall we? Any stat. What have you got? Have you got a stat? Let's do a stat. I'm up for a stat on this, the Sunderland Fan Show, because we can go with... What do we do? I'll tell you what. We'll reach into the stat tombola, shall we? 8 clean sheets in 9. 26 league points from 33 possible available. 8 league wins. 1 defeat in 14. How about that for a stat? 3 goals in 11 second half minutes. What about that for a stat? I'll tell you what. Let's slash Phil Parkinson's games in charge so far. 26 games in charge. The first 13, 2 wins, 2 clean sheets. They exited the EFL Cup, the EFL Trophy, the FA Cup. They only were 12th in the league, 9 points adrift of the automatic promotion spots. Take his second 13 games, 9 wins, 9 clean sheets, 4th, just 3 points adrift of the automatic promotion spots. But I tell you what, the stat that I like most is the fact that of all the teams to win games in 2020 thus far, Sunderland are top of the pile in all 4 tiers of English football. Yes, 8 wins for the Black Cats is better than Liverpool. It's better than Coventry in League 1. It's better than Rotherham in League 1. And it's better than Crewe and Plymouth in League 2. Of course, Liverpool go to West Ham tomorrow, but we'll just ignore that for now. It's the Sunderland Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined as ever by Niall Bromley of the Roker Report. Hello, Niall.
Hello, Matt. How are you doing? You all right?
I'm good, thanks, mate. I thought I would start the show as you'd like me to start the show. And I tell you what, we've got one more thing for you. It's coming up in a moment or two. In fact, no, it's coming up right this second. Here it is.
Coach. 1-0. Finally the breakthrough. Brilliant. Swept out of defence. Swept into Gooch, and Gooch nets his 10th of the season, and Sunderland lead by a goal to nil in the 71st minute.
Okay, well, we nearly got there, Niall. It wasn't the entire clip that we were supposed to have. McLaughlin to Maguire to Dobson to Wyke to Maguire to Gooch. Now, I racked that up. 13 seconds, 0.42. That's how quick it was from John McLaughlin to Lyndon Gooch putting the ball in the back of the net. Not bad, eh?
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. It was, we had to wait for it, as I said in the commentary there. We had to, you know, Bristol Rovers, in all fairness, they were strong and they were organised and they made it difficult for us. And it took some work, really. And I think it was always coming. I think despite the sending off, I think we were always going to score and we were always going to win. It was just kind of a matter of when. But I think when the sending off was made, I think it was then just became inevitable. So it was, yeah, it was a hard-fought game, a really hard-fought game in difficult conditions. But, you know, we've gone through it and we've managed to get a 3-0 win. And it's, yeah, just another clean sheet. Like you said before, you know, it's a 9 clean sheets, I think, in 14. It's phenomenal. And it's a great run. And all credit to Parky, all credit to the lads, because, you know, they just showed what they're made of now. And I think it's the first time that these group of players have done that since we've been relegated to League One. You know, obviously we've had a few changes and stuff, but I don't think this, our team's really shown what they've been made of since they've been relegated, but now we are, and people are definitely looking over their shoulders now, because, you know, we're coming for them, we're 3 points off top. We're really, I mean, I don't see any reason why we're kind of getting those top 2 places now.
Without a shadow of a doubt, I think, mate. I mean, the form is just incredible, isn't it? Let's focus on the game itself, because Bristol Rovers never won a league game at Sunderland, but you had to wait for a sending off, Abu Agogo being sent off for a rather bizarre situation involving Chris Maguire off the ball. Now, I'm not going to say Chris Maguire is completely exempt of blame here, but Agogo, no need to lash out. Perhaps it was clever from Chris Maguire, but as soon as Bristol Rovers went down to 10 men, and I know that Phil Parkinson preaches about keeping cool heads, about keeping level heads, and that's what the fellas did up to that point.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like you say, it was a bit of a strange one because it was kind of off the ball in a sense. You know, I've watched it back a few times and you can't really see what's going on. It does look like he's kicked out and I think he's even admitted to it. Don't get us wrong, I think Maguire probably has made a little bit more of it than what it was, but at the end of the day, the fella's still kicked out. So, you know, the rules are rules. And it's, you know, it's a red card. It's as simple as that. And like you say, like I said before, I still think we're all going to go on to win the game regardless of the red card. But, you know, the red card obviously gave us the, it helped in a sense. And we've gone on and scored three goals and won the game.
Let's talk about Chris Maguire, shall we? Because that wasn't just his only involvement in the game, of course. Three assists. I mean, I know they're trying to potentially take one off him, but we're going to give him three. And in terms of his stats, we started with the stats at the top of the show. In his last 12 games, Chris Maguire has registered five goals. So he scored five goals and eight assists. This season alone, 31 games, 24 starts, 10 goals, 11 assists. I mean, he is in flying form.
For me, and this, you know, a lot of people might argue with this, but this is something that I've said for a while. With Chris Maguire, when he's on form, he is, for me personally, I think he's the best player in League One. I think when he's at it, I've said to you a few times, he's a confidence player, but when he's confident and when he wants to do it, I don't think there's a player better than him in this division technically. Don't get us wrong. He's not. You know, he might not be. He might not have the most pace in the world, but he doesn't really need that. It's not that big a part of his game. He's so calm on the ball, and yeah, sometimes he might get carried away and stuff, which I don't think it lets him down, because I think, you know, it's that flair that the Sunderland fans do love. But he's an absolute gem for us, and the way that he's playing is just, you can see it's the best in his career, and I think he would admit that as well. I think it's the best he's ever played. When he was at Oxford, I think he loved it there as well. It was quite similar, but certainly the way that he can drift the ball, and you know, the passes he makes, the cross balls, the everything is just, and you know, he's got such a smooth strike, such a sweet strike, and everything about him is just everything that Sunderland fans want from a player. And yeah, I seriously think on his day, I don't think there's a better player in our league than him.
And his partnership as well with Lyndon Gooch now, the pair of them are really making an impression in League One, aren't they? 22 goals and 10 assists between the pair of them. That's just in the last 12 games. I mean, we're starting to see now a really formidable attack under Phil Parkinson.
Definitely. I mean, Gooch is another player. He's, you know, just growing by the game, just getting better every game. He's, you know, so hungry. He's scoring goals. He's, you know, he's in the best run of form he's had in his career. He's fantastic. He's so tricky on the ball. He's creating things. He's bringing people into play. He's not only that, he's also, you know, he's been at the club since he was 10 years old. He loves the club. And he's one of the players, you know, he lifts the crowd. He lifts the players. He's one. He puts arms around shoulders when needs be. And he really, really, he's a captain in the making, really. I think in a few years' time, he will be a captain, because that's what he's like. You know, he's so motivated and he just wants, you can tell, the guy hates, I mean, everybody hates losing, but him especially, and Maguire, you know, and that's the last thing he wants. And it's just, it's so great having him around. And like you say, he's coming forward. It really is punishing for teams. And teams, are getting petrified about it as well. So it's lovely to see. And fingers crossed it can carry on and we can push on and move on to Tuesday against Fleetwood and then the biggest game against Coventry at the weekend.
Yeah, certainly some big games coming up. Now, we'll get onto them a bit later on in the show. I just want to very quickly touch on Maguire as well. He's close now to that coveted double-double of goals and assists. 10 goals, 10 assists. He's very close to clinching that. I think Jed Wallace of Millwall in the Championship is running him a close one on that one too. So it'll be interesting to see who comes up first. I want to touch on one of our favourite players, Luke O'Nine, of course, scoring again. I'm not sure I can give him that one because one heck of a deflection. I'm not sure I'm having the celebration either. When you score a goal like that, I don't think you're entitled to celebrate. I think you just put your hand up and go, yeah, right, fair enough. What I would say is that he should have had a blatant penalty in the first half, shouldn't we? I mean, pretty much the game should have been done and dusted. And the referee himself, Ben Toner, we're going to name check him now because neither manager, I know it's a lot easier for Phil Parkinson because you won the game, but Ben Garner of Bristol Rovers was fuming with him.
He was. His. I don't know if you've seen his interview after the game.
Yeah.
A bit strange. I think he's made himself look a little bit silly, to be honest with you, Matt. I don't like seeing things like that, but it's true. It was a bit of a strange interview. He said that in the first half, the referee was brilliant in the first half, but not in the second half. And like you say, that Luke O'Nine blatant penalty decision was in the first half. I can't see how he hasn't given it. The linesman hasn't given it. I just don't get it. It's one of them. We've had these conversations before on this show where we've spoken, and I've just been speechless at the fact that I don't understand. This is another one. I don't understand. He's even got a good view of it. I don't get why he's not giving it. I mean, yeah, look, on, he's getting his goal in the end, as you say, a bit of a lucky one, but they all count. But that's a blatant penalty. And if that had cost us, if that was a 0-0 draw yesterday and we hadn't managed to get the goals, and you know, it would have been, I would have been absolutely furious. Luckily, we're getting the win, but I mean, that's just an incredible decision. And like you say, the Garner and for Bristol Rovers, I don't understand where he's coming from. You know, the second goal, he's complained. He said that it's, you know, it's a clash of heads, it's a head injury. I mean, at the end of the day, that's happened so quick, to be fair. And it's two of his players have ran into each other, basically. And Charlie Weiss went on to put the ball into the back of the net. I mean, can you stop the player there? I don't know what the actual... I know it's a head injury, so he's supposed to, but it's a little bit of a strange one. I think we would have been absolutely furious if two of the players had run into each other through clumsiness, and then we get denied a clear goal scoring opportunity. So it's one of them, but yeah, his comments were certainly strange after the game.
It is tough, isn't it, with regards to referees and then making these decisions, because I'm not an advocate for VAR at all. We've seen another shambolic weekend in the Premier League with regards to VAR, but these are the issues, is that when referees miss blatant decisions like this, you do turn around and go, well, if we have video technology, that would be given as a clear penalty. And it would be. But at the same time, I don't really think we can even put that through as an argument, because ultimately all you're saying is you just need a better referee. A better referee on his day would surely give that.
Yeah, it would. It would. I mean, the thing is, I've never known officiating like it since we've come to League One. When we were in the Championship, we know we were only there for a year. But I'm a big football fan and I watch all levels of football. And even the Championship refereeing over the last few years seems to be getting a little bit better at times. But when you get to League One, I mean, it's the biggest fall in football, the Championship of League One, and not only on the field, not only the stadiums and the attendances, it's the officiating. And like I say, we've just had some crazy, crazy decisions gone against us all season, ones which I can't dispute. We've also had decisions go for us, which I'm still shaking my head thinking, how on earth are we getting that? But it's just, there is something that needs done. I don't think VAR is the answer. I think it is the answer, but not the way it is now. It needs simplified. It needs a lot of work done with it. But I mean, like you say, we just need something in place to make sure this doesn't happen, because it's starting to get a bit silly.
Yeah, it is indeed. What's not silly is Sunderland's form right now. Now, like we said, skyrocketing up the League One table. We're going to reflect a bit more on that. We're going to talk Tommy Smith. Of course, he's arrived with the news that Bailey Wright is out for a couple of months. And we're going to look ahead to those games in League One coming up. Plenty more.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Sunderland Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, and Niall Bromley of the Roker Report. I'm not of the Roker Report, I'm of Love Sport. Niall Bromley is of the Roker Report. But I tell you what, I'd love to be a part of the Roker Report one day. Could I be part of the Roker Report, Niall, maybe alumni someday in the future?
We'll get you in, mate. We'll get you in as a special guest. we do when we play other teams, we do like an extra and we interview someone of the opposition. So whenever we play your team, who I don't really know who it is, it's a bit of a mystery, but when we play whoever your team is to your heart, then I'll get you on, mate, and we'll have a conversation, eh?
I like that, mate. I'm something of a mysterious character, so yes, I keep my cards very close to my chest. A man who doesn't, actually maybe he does, Phil Parkinson. He's interesting me with his post-match interviews because he's not particularly open at all. In fact, here's what he said after yesterday's game.
Yeah, no, it's obviously important. Concentration levels again, even against 10 men. You've seen teams against 10 men think that the job is done, and it's often not. And I was just pleased the way the back three concentrated today again, and so pleased with the victory. You know, these games are never easy, and it sets us up for another terrific home game on Tuesday night.
So that was Phil Parkinson. After the 3-0 win yesterday, he was speaking directly to the club there for their YouTube channel. And you sense that he'd probably done about 10 interviews by that point because he was kind of a bit breathy at the end of his tether. It's difficult when these managers do these post-match interviews. But Niall, he is someone after games, doesn't he? And listen, the tide hath turned, I suppose. This is a guy who was hearing you're getting sacked in the morning before Christmas. And then at the end of yesterday's game, towards the end of yesterday's game, Parky, give us a wave. I mean, it's massively changed for him.
Absolutely love it. You know what it is? I love it. I said to you last week that, you know, a few months ago when he first came in and won this horrendous run, you know, I stuck by him. I said, you know, give him time. He's come into it. The players, you know, that they need to learn him. They need to learn his ways. And, you know, hopefully we'll get there. And everybody was against him. I mean, everybody. I was really, really on my own. You know, like even my family members, you know, who are obviously big Southern fans, like them, were just saying they're a lot like me with the way they think. But they were just saying it's hard to want him in the club. And now, like I say, people, I mean, I think that they're trying to think of a chant for him, which is something which I didn't think they were going to have to do, but it's just unbelievable. Literally, the whole stadium is just warm to him. Don't get us wrong, that can quickly turn if we don't get promoted this season. It might be difficult for him going into next season, but at the minute, he is really winning people over. And just something about him as well. He just seems so up for it. And he's got charisma. And he's got everything about him, which is something when he first came, he seemed like he was in his shell a little bit. But now it's the complete opposite. I mean, he seems like he's heading every ball now on the touchline, which is something that when he first came, he wasn't really doing. He was back and forth, kind of, and just walking and watching. But now he seems to be really getting involved. And you know what, I'm so happy for him because you know what it is? He's a nice person, he's a lovely bloke, and he's good at his job. And I'm just happy that he's managed to make this work so far. And fingers crossed, this can keep on going. Because, I mean, it's probably the biggest turnaround. Well, it is the biggest turnaround I've known of a Sunderland manager. I've never known anybody come in, because nobody was excited by the appointment, really. You know, a lot of people kind of thought it was a nothing appointment, that we weren't really sure why he'd been appointed. And then when we started losing a few games, it got to the stage where everybody was just, you know, who is this guy? What's he doing here? And now it's just totally flipped, as you say, and it's brilliant. And I just hope that it can remain this way and he can keep on winning us over. And I mean, at the minute, he's going to have the freedom of the city if it keeps on going the way it's going. And that's what I hope happens, because he does deserve it.
It is incredible, isn't it? And when I looked at those 26 games in charge thus far and putting Wickham into that, I know he technically wasn't properly in charge for that one, but it makes it better because we can split it into 13. To think that he got 2 wins in those first 13 games, only 2 clean sheets. You were out of all the cup competitions. You were 9 points adrift of the automatic promotion spots. And in the second 13 of that 26, 9 wins, 9 clean sheets, 3 points adrift. And the clean sheets I have to touch on, because this is actually something that he's credited almost, not almost, kind of credited, or at least suggested that he received some help from Roberto Mancini, hasn't he? He went over to Italy in the mid-noughties to, you know, study what Roberto Mancini was doing at Inter Milan at the time. He was training for his pro coaching license and said that he picked up so many tricks, so many skills, so many techniques from Mancini, and that stood him in good stead now.
Yeah, well, I mean, Roberto Mancini's not a bad manager, is he? Premier League winner, so obviously if he's getting a bit from him, but yeah, the way that he does it, it's clever, because obviously it's 5 at the back, but, and obviously we'll play with wing backs, but the 3 that sit, you know, you kind of have one bombing on a bit. Like Jordan Willis is that player. He seems to get forward a lot more than the other two. Obviously, it was Bailey Wright, who's now unfortunately injured, but Ali Mosdrake's come in, which is fine because he's, you know, he's more than capable. And like you said, well, Tommy Smith signed as well, so I'm sure he'll come in at some point. But yeah, so they, you know, Willis likes to go forward a bit. So it's not, it's like having an extra man in a sense. It's a bit strange, but Willis has got the pace to get back when he needs to get back quick enough. I think that's probably why he's been chosen. And Willis has got great ball control and he's very good in the air. So that's another reason why he's probably chosen him to do that job. But it's really clever how he does it. And like I say, you never would have thought that we would be keeping so many clean sheets because it did look a bit, you know, all over the place earlier in the season, especially under Jack Ross. But now it just seems so calm. They don't panic. You know, it's simple stuff now as well. It's, you know, if in doubt, head it out. What you're told when you're about 6 years old, that's what we're doing. I mean, we're doing stuff like that, but we weren't doing stuff like that. I know when we played Blackpool earlier on in the season, at home, we had about six opportunities to clear the ball. We failed, and they ended up scoring from it. And that was under Phil Parkinson. But ever since then, that you know, that's not happened. But just getting rid, just doing the basics. And I think, you know, a wise man once said, once you get the basics right, you know, you get everything right. And that's kind of what he's done. And that's what's happening. And yeah, it's going so well. And fingers crossed he can carry on.
Let's quickly touch on the signing of Tommy Smith, as you alluded to then.
Yep.
Bailey Wright, an Australian, of course, looks like he's going to be out until the end of the season. He's decided to stay in the Antipodean realm, hasn't he? Tommy Smith, a New Zealand international, wealth of experience in the Football League with Ipswich, with Stevenage, Brentford, Colchester. He's still just 29. He's come in. He last played for Colorado Rapids in MLS. I liked his tweet after the game. Said, delighted to be involved. He's already believing, feeding into the notion of being a Sunderland player. This is someone who can come in, step into a League One side, and you know he's got the credentials to do a job.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Ipswich supporters on Twitter after we signed him didn't seem happy about that signing at all. They basically said, you know, why has he gone there? Why has he not come back here? You know, I've seen a few tweets saying he was one of the best centre-halves they've had in their recent history. So that obviously is great when another club is, you know, saying that it's bad news that you've signed one of their former players. So obviously it's going to stand him in great stead. And he looks like a real, real good pro. Like you say, New Zealand international, I was watching clips of him on YouTube the other day, and he was defending, playing for New Zealand against Portugal, and he was defending against Cristiano Ronaldo. And I'm not going to say he had him in his back pocket, but he certainly, you know, he did very, very well against Ronaldo. So, I mean, it's intriguing. I'm looking forward to having him here. I think it is going to be a case of him and Ozturk, you know, whoever gets the best run of form, that's going to be as simple as that. They're going to be in the team. But we did need cover. We've got young Jack Bainbridge. He's, you know, he's still young. He's still growing. But I don't think he's ready to come into the first team fold yet. So it's a great signing. It's a free transfer. And I'm looking forward to seeing him on. And that'll probably be in the next few weeks. We've got a lot of depth now on the team. We've got massive, massive games coming up. So you'll certainly be involved at some point.
I'm sure he will. And actually, Niall, to win at the weekend was even more important because all the teams around you won as well. Rotherham with a late, late winner against Accrington Stanley. Coventry with a pretty comprehensive defeat against... Actually, not really comprehensive. It was actually quite tight at the end. Aaron Wilbraham with what ended up being a consolation for them. But Coventry with a win as well. It looked for a long time that they were going to go top of League One. They're level on points with Rotherham, but Wickham getting a win against Tranmere. Fleetwood beating Portsmouth. That was a big win for them. Five straight victories for them. They jump up into the playoff places. And like you said, it's Fleetwood on Tuesday and it's Coventry at the weekend. So beating these teams in and around you now is huge. If you beat Coventry and if you get a result against Fleetwood, by the end of the week, you're in the automatic promotion spots.
Yeah, huge. Huge. I mean, it's getting to the stage now where if we win every game from now to the end of the season, we're promoted. It's, you know, that's what happens. Because we've still got Rotherham to play, we've still got Coventry to play. We don't need to wait for the results. So we're up. I don't think we're going to win every game now at the end of that. I mean, stranger things have happened, but I very much doubt it. So you need to get the results when you play these teams. What else is interesting is that on Tuesday night as well, Rotherham are playing Coventry.
They are massive game.
Yeah, so somebody's going to drop points. you know, and if we beat Fleetwood on Tuesday, you know, we could be in the top two then. So it's so big. And Wickham as well. Wickham are a team that, you know, I've had feelings about Wickham, but in all fairness, credit's true. They've kind of dropped off a bit, but they're picking up again. They're winning games. You know, I think they've won the last two, so they're getting points on the board. They're still there or thereabouts, and they're still believing. So it's going to go right to the, it's going to go right to the wire. Our last game of the season is away to Rotherham United, and I think that is literally going to be winner takes all. That's what it looks like it's going to be. So, I mean, that's going to be absolutely an unbelievable day. So yeah, it's just so tight. But like you say, this week was crucial. We've got to get the wins. Got to push on. We've already been through a period of big games. We're just coming into another one. So just, you know, need to be business as usual and just carry on what we're doing.
Absolutely love that from Niall Bromley of The Rogue Report. And I tell you what, Sunderland ladies have also reached the FA Women's National League Cup final. They beat Southampton Women. They'll play Stoke in the final. It's all good for Sunderland. We will see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.